This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The White House has ordered a major reorganization of American efforts to quell violence in Iraq and Afghanistan and to speed the reconstruction of both countries, according to senior administration officials. The new effort includes the creation of an Iraq Stabilization Group, which will be run by National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice. It comes at a time when polls show that Americans are less confident of Mr. Bush's foreign policy skills than at any time since the terrorist attacks 2 years ago. At the same time, Congress is using President Bush's request for $87 billion to question the administration's failure to anticipate the violence in Iraq and the obstacles to reconstruction. The president knows his legacy and maybe his re-election depends on getting this right, an administration official said. This is as close as anyone will come to acknowledgement that it's not working. Arnold Schwarzenegger went on the attack yesterday, denouncing the latest sexual harassment allegations made against him as untrue and charging that all of the 11th-hour accusations were intended to wreck his campaign for governor. The Democratic National Committee issued a resolution yesterday calling on Schwarzenegger to apologize for the alleged remarks about Hitler. The Republican gubernatorial frontrunner dismissed the move as sleaze politics. Schwarzenegger came under fire after the Los Angeles Times reported on Thursday that six women claimed he groped or sexually harassed them between 1975 and 2000. After the story was published, five other women came forward to report similar incidents, including two who said Friday the actor harassed them on the set of the 1988 film Twins. The saga of an Army Reserve battalion trying to return from the Middle East on leave took another twist on Sunday when family members learned their loved ones could not return to the States because there was no room on the homebound flight. Family members had been told they were coming home from Kuwait on leave and had flights arranged for them, but then found out last week that the leaves had been suspended. On Friday, the military said the reservists would be coming home after all and that the incident was a major miscommunication. More IE America news after this.
Hi, my name's Maria, and I'm alive today because I was given CPR last year by Rick.
Who took a class with the Red Cross after I received blood from Jamal, who gave blood
after being encouraged by my friend Angela.
Who helped Jamal's whole family get the help and support they needed after losing their home to a fire.
When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. By getting involved with the Red Cross, you never know how many people your actions will affect. To get involved, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
The Chicago Cubs eliminated the Atlanta Braves in Game 5 of the National League Division Series, snagging their first postseason series victory since 1908. For IE American Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh-baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
If you wonder why your taxes keep going up, 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 one big reason is that corporations keep finding sneaky ways to dodge paying their share of the burden, thus shifting the cost of public services onto the backs of working stiffs. With the recent corporate scandals, we've gotten peeks into offshore partnerships, Bermuda tax havens, and other newfangled flimflams to avoid corporate tax responsibilities. But one of the largest means of tax avoidance is an old provision called cost of doing business. Under this broad category, corporate chieftains can slash their tax bills by claiming that everything from their marble-walled executive bathrooms to their lavish advertising budgets are necessary expenses for conducting business, and therefore fully deductible from their corporate income tax. In recent years, however, what they claim to be necessary has been stretched so thinly that anyone with an iota of common sense can read the tax fraud right through it. Among the current allowable deductions are the corporate helicopter to ferry the CEO back and forth to work, the company-owned hunting lodge for top executives, the business meetings in Bimini, the luxury skybox for Yankee games, and so forth, as far as the corporate imagination can wander. How far it can wander was made clear by Dennis Kozlowski, the now disgraced honcho of Tyco. As an essential tax-deductible expense, Dennis included most of the tab for a $2 million party he threw for his wife Karen's 40th birthday in Sardinia, Italy. This gay gala featured a life-size ice sculpture of Michelangelo's famous statue of David, complete with vodka streaming from the statue's penis into the crystal glasses of Dennis's delighted guests. This is Jim Hightower saying, isn't it good to know that you're paying more in taxes so corporate greed heads like Kozlowski can cavort so ridiculously? Literally passing the buck to us ordinary taxpayers.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy and the American way from coast to coast. This is Tom Hartman live on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting on terrestrial radio stations from coast to coast, broadcasting, streaming out live on the Internet via radiopower.org with archives at whiterosesociety.org and also on IEAmericaRadio.com. You can find all that off TomHartman.com. You'll also find links to our chat room where you can drop in and have a conversation. At the moment, I don't see the chat room. I'm live in the studio here in Detroit at the IE America Radio World Headquarters. Me and Shar Jones here creating great live radio for the day. And what a great place and fine people. But we have a little technical glitch here in getting this computer in the studio onto the Internet. So those of you in the chat room, hello, but I can't see what's going on. Our quote for the day, my country is the world and my religion is to do good, from Thomas Paine in 1780. And just a quick overview, a recap of the day. We're in our first hour. We're going to ask the question, what do the Rush Limbaugh scandals tell us about the state of race relations and the enforcement of drug laws in the United States in 2003? This is of particular interest to me. I was on ESPN for about 20 minutes on their television network Sunday morning from between 9:30 and 10 in the Between the Lines show. And also we talked about this last week, and I wrote a piece about Rush and his drug problem, which was posted on commondreams.org. It's still up there. It was posted on Friday. And frankly, I don't think, you know, I've written pieces talking about the parallels between the rise of fascism in Germany and the United States. I've written pieces about, you know, are we, you know, what's the history of or the future of democracy in America? Also, a lot of topic, you know, health care, is it part of a huge conspiracy? It's a vast right wing conspiracy. A lot of time, and I think I've gotten more email on this one topic than any other. So I want to use it really. I mean, you know, Rush is going to be 2% of the show in this first hour, but it raises some real significant issues. One having to do with the issues of race and race relations in the United States, and the other having to do with our drug laws, and you know what we're creating, how we're enforcing these things, what's going on with them. In our second hour, we're going to get into the question, are we witnessing the final conservative conquest in America and around the world of democracy and the middle class, the end of democracy and the middle class, as the conservative agenda an agenda of aristocratic neo-feudalism, what Benito Mussolini called fascism, charges on across the world, and some believe is getting more and more power in the United States of America. I'm seeing people pushing back against it. We're going to talk about that and some of the examples around the world, and in particular how one of the only organized oppositions to this thing is the labor movement around the world, and what's happening with that. So we're going to get into that in our second hour. And in our third hour, we're going to, you know, back to the news here. What's the conservative political spin on Arnold and the governor race and the new revelations about his relationship with Ken Lay? I think this really should be the top story in the, you know, in the California governor race stuff. How are the conservatives going to spin the David Kaye information, or already spinning it? I have an update for you on that. What's up with Joe Wilson and this outing of his wife? And will the conservatives succeed in fooling the American people as well as they did about the so-called threats of Iraq? And we have some truly startling statistics and information about that and who got fooled and what their news sources were. And along the way, we've got some other information, some interesting stuff on new tax breaks for corporations, on $6,000 telephones for Iraq, and so forth. We'll get into that as the program proceeds. But first, let's start with a Berlusconi alert. Yes, indeed, folks. The Parliament dealt Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi. You will recall Berlusconi is the Prime Minister of Italy. He's the guy who started out as basically a small-time crook and businessman. Through his connections, some say mafia connections, he built his business up to the point where he was able to buy a television station or a radio station. Then he ended up building a network, and then he bought another network, and then he bought another network, and then he bought another one. And finally, out of the seven radio and television networks in Italy, he owns six of them. There's only one left that's owned by the state, the equivalent of PBS. And he's buying newspapers now. And his and of course, once he had the reason this is so important for Americans to know about, and it's so astounding to me that so few Americans know about it, is that this guy did in one little country what Rupert Murdoch is trying to do in the entire English speaking world, in Australia, the United States, and the United Kingdom, and getting his tentacles into other parts of the world as well, with now with Star TV in China. And, well, I can't say Rupert Murdoch is trying to do this. Let's say he has positioned himself to be this kind of kingmaker. And that is that Berlusconi bought up all the media and then ran his candidates for parliament. And he became, guess what, prime minister. Surprise, surprise. So here's the Berlusconi alert. This from the New York Times last Friday. The Parliament dealt Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi an unexpected setback. How could they deal him a setback? It's unprecedented. It's incredible. How could this have happened? It suggested dissent within the ranks of his governing coalition. What? People are a little worried that this guy might be a little off the rails. You've been noticing how he's been behaving in Europe lately. It has a lot of Europeans worried. Here's the key to it. This was a secret ballot vote. Voting in a secret ballot, the lawmakers blocked passage of a fiercely contested bill that would consolidate Mr. Berlusconi's ownership of much of the news media, that is, much of what's left of it that he doesn't already own, and which critics say would give him too much influence. How much is too much? The New York Times adds that they were apparently emboldened, people within his own party who are worried about him, by the fact that it was an anonymous vote, and they held up the legislation for further review. So, as goes, you know, it's interesting. Fascism started in Italy before Germany. As goes Italy, let's hope not. But sometimes there are these things called bellwethers. Okay, on to this Rush Limbaugh stink. I mean, there's really two dimensions to this. The first is the comment that he made on ESPN. And when the good folks at ESPN called me up on Saturday night and said, would you like to be on television Sunday morning to discuss this? And we ended up with a satellite truck in my brother's yard. I was visiting my family in Michigan. And I said, yeah. And they asked, you know, what's your take on this? And my first comment was, well, you know, didn't you guys know what you were hiring? And that really wasn't the topic they wanted to talk about, and understandably so. I think that that's really a different thing. What they said, well, there's a really a larger issue here, and that is, you know, what is the state of race relations in America as it relates to sports, of course, because this is a sports network and a sports program. And I think that this really tells us something interesting. And what's really interesting is that they had three of us on this show. The other two were African Americans, and I guess I was the token white boy. And does that sound racist? I don't know. Anyway, and one guy was what you might call liberal, and he was saying, "Hey, this, you know, Rush Limbaugh, he's part of the problem. You know, the powerful white men who control America." And the other guy was an African American conservative who made the argument that because blacks who work at McDonald's can spit in the hamburgers that they then serve to Rush Limbaugh, they have power in America. He, honest to God, made this argument. I mean, it's like, you know, oh, yes, we have power and we have equality. And I just, you know, my mouth fell open. So, you know, I started out, the first thing they asked me what my thoughts on this were. And I said, I think, you know, it's natural for people to form into tribes. We form into communities. We form. This is just a natural thing. This is a human thing. And perhaps my background on this is a little different from a lot of other people, because I've actually hung out with, lived with, and worked with real tribes all around the world. I've hung out with and worked with the Ik and the Buganda and the Keramoja in Uganda. I've hung out with the Dene up in and the Inuit, the what used to be called the Eskimos up in northern Canada, with the Apaches, with the Hopis in North America, with representatives of the Kogi in South America, with several different Aboriginal tribes in Australia, or the remnants of them. And you know, it's interesting. I think that there's a toxic way and a non-toxic way. The non-toxic way is the way that, like, schools form tribes. You know, like, Michigan State. I grew up in Michigan. At Michigan State, there was these two colleges, right? And, oh, we hate those guys, they're bums. And the other, oh, we hate those guys, they're bums. But, see, there was a relatively equal power relationship. When one tribe doesn't have power over the other tribe, then tribalism becomes really a way that we kind of invent our identity. You know, we say, you know, hey, this is our community, and that's an okay thing. In fact, I think that that's a healthy thing. That's a human thing. It's been going on for hundreds of thousands of years. And in fact, I would suggest to you that this great melting pot of America, those who say, oh, we would be pleased to let you come into our society, and you can learn to speak like us, and you can learn to behave like us, that is the velvet glove over the iron fist of cultural destruction. That is racism in its most raw and naked, not just racism, culturism. And most Americans are completely unaware of this. Because we either think we're part of this culture, that there's only one culture, and that's not the case, or many of us are aspiring to it, because it's the culture of the slaveholders. There are still slaveholders in America, make no mistake about it. Ask anybody who works in any job in most jobs in America. If you've got a mortgage, if people are afraid for their future, if they're living from paycheck to paycheck, I mean, how do you define slavery, if not beyond that? So I started out by saying I think that there's this natural difference, and that's okay, but it becomes not okay when the power relationships are out of balance. And Rush represents one side that has the power and that historically has crushed and dominated the other side. And that, I think, does not entitle him, just as it doesn't entitle me, being a white American, to make those kinds of comments. And in just a second, we'll get into even more detail about what that is and what it means and what the future of this is for America. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. You're in the Democracy Zone. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
When Brian and Amy decided to sell their home, someone was there to make sure that things went smoothly. Someone was there to help them see it through a buyer's eyes. Someone was there to help price it, show it, close it. And when Brian and Amy found the house they wanted to buy, someone else helped them get through that process just as smoothly.
Congratulations, we did it.
If you're thinking about selling your home, work with someone who works with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life. Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
I have a question for the men out there. What do you think your odds are of developing prostate problems? 1 in 1,000? 1 in 300? Actually, my doctor told me they're 1 in 3. But you can help beat those odds with One A Day Men's Health Formula. One A Day Men's is a complete multivitamin with 21 nutrients plus lycopene, which Harvard studies have linked to prostate health. So now that you know your risk, help beat the odds. Take One A Day Men's Health, the multivitamin with more for your health.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817 for the Washington Monthly.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
I want everyone to listen up and understand clearly. We need some good weekday programming ideas. I don't know why no one is writing this down. We need some good weekday programming ideas that will appeal to all angles and opinions of all listeners. Any ideas? Johnson.
Oh, you said the wrong name.
It's Jameson, sir.
Jackson, Johnson, Jasper, whatever.
Maybe we can pick up Limbaugh and convince him to move more to the middle.
That's good. Get out of my office. Yeah, get out. Jeez. You're an idiot.
Sure.
Spicoli.
It's Smith, sir.
Yeah. Give me something good.
Why don't we just have some shows that will appeal to everyone's opinion? It'll make the listener base more diverse and make for a good show.
A talk show that everyone will listen to because their opinions will be supported by other listeners and welcomed by the show host. That's brilliant. Good job, Swanson.
You're on the ball.
Everyone take this next holiday off.
Wait, someone has to work. Doug Steffen's live.
Come on.
The
best in progressive talk radio, weekdays, on the only progressive talk radio network there is, i.e. America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the i.e. America Radio Network.
Welcome back, bringing you Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle, helping you win the water cooler wars. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. You know, I started to mention tribes before and that I'd hung out with some. I remember hanging out with the Apaches, with a group of Apaches in the southwestern United States. And there was a, I want to be careful with my words because these are not their words. These are my words. But I would say something between rivalry and dislike for the Hopi. And hanging around with the Hopi, they, in my experience, have had not too wonderful things to say about the Navajos and the Apaches. These groups have been traditional competitors. Now that's tribalism. That's my tribe, your tribe. My tribe is the best for me. In other words, this is the way that I, you know, this is my group. But when it becomes toxic, where Hitler pushed it over the top, for example, was when he said, okay, we're this tribe, they're that tribe, and that tribe, we got to do something about. We got to get those guys. We got to get rid of them. We got to destroy them. Or we have to oppress them. We have to control them. That's when we go out of the realm of tribalism or just, you know, culture, you know, one culture coming up against another culture and learning to live together and working together and respecting each other, but knowing that there are differences. And on the one hand, and on the other hand, racism, where it becomes really, racism is all about power. It's about who has the power relationships. This from the Business Digest in last week's New York Times, the Friday paper. American companies that have deferred taxes for years on profits they've made overseas could be in line for a windfall from the Congress. The New York Times says the Senate Finance Committee approved a bill that would give a one-time tax holiday. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't you like to get a one-time tax holiday? You know, tax holiday. It's like an amnesty. It's like you don't have to pay taxes to companies that have accumulated, guess how much, in foreign profits on which they have not yet paid American taxes, up to $400 billion. Now, I'll bet you that 99.9% of the recipients of those are going to be rich white guys in America. And that brings us back to this thing. Now, one of the things that I think is really interesting, I just wrote a book called The Edison Gene, and it's all about the genetics of attention deficit disorder. But in researching that book, I discovered some fascinating stuff about genetics. And one is that there's no gene for race. Did you know that? There's no gene for race. There is a gene that determines how dark or how light a person's skin is, or what kind of hair they have, whether it's straight or kinky, or what color it is. There are all these individual genes, but there's no gene for race. You can look at a person of another race, and you are looking at somebody who is absolutely identical to you in every regard except these smallest cosmetic things. And yet we have these huge disparities in our culture when you look at who goes to prison and who doesn't, who gets jobs and who doesn't, that seem to have to do with race. It turns out race is an artificial construct. It's a hallucination. It's something that we create but doesn't really have a biological basis. The genetic differences are absolutely irrelevant. They are purely cosmetic. And this is why this kind of talk by folks like Limbaugh and others on the right, and the suggestion that we should do away with affirmative action program. We need to be colorblind in America. But it's like beating somebody up, breaking their legs, stripping them naked, stealing their money, laying them in the middle of the street as you're standing there in a business suit with a job and saying, okay, now let's compete for the best job. Right? I mean, it's like, you know, look at the history of this thing. I want to get into Russia's drug problem here, too, in the next half hour. This is Tom. By the way, if you want to call, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. This is Tom Hartman. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Last week, union workers with Ford Motor Company ratified a new four-year contract. Within days, Ford announced a series of plant closures and cutbacks affecting thousands of people. Two factories in Michigan and Ohio will close by the end of the year. A plant in New Jersey will close early next year. And another facility in Missouri will be cut back to a single shift. The last time Ford idled an entire plant was back in 1984.
Welcome to New York Freedom Riders!
They spent the last 2 weeks crisscrossing the U.S. in 9 caravans with stops in over 100 cities. And on Saturday, the Immigrant Workers Freedom Ride ended with a mass rally in New York City. Nearly 100,000 supporters filled Flushing Meadows Park in Queens in support of the Freedom Riders. Joining them was Karen Narasaki, president of the National Asian Pacific Legal Consortium.
By being here today, you are sending a message that no human being is illegal, that we need to provide legal status to hard-working immigrants and their families so that they can fully participate in the society that they are helping to build.
Bill Lucy, Secretary-Treasurer of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees.
You have relit the flame of liberty and freedom for every hard-working immigrant in this nation. The day laborers, the agricultural workers, the custodians, parking attendants, housekeepers, maids, window wipers, every single one of them you have given a face to so that this nation sees the hard-working immigrants and their contribution to our society.
The Freedom Riders are asking for legal status and labor protections for immigrant workers, as well as an easier path to citizenship and the reunification of families across national borders.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday, 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Oh, yeah, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till 2004, November. This is Tom Hartman putting the con in conservative. You know, back, I don't know, 5 years ago, it seems it was, more or less. It was before the Northwest Territories, the northernmost province of Canada, which is about the size of the entire continental United States, as I recall. It's huge, although sparsely populated. Before the Northwest Territories was split into two, which recently happened in the last few years, the premier, which we would call a governor, of that territory was a fellow by the name of Don Morin. And I forget which tribe Don was a member of. I want to say Crow, but I'm probably wrong. I don't. Frankly, it's been quite a few years, and they were having a big problem up there among tribal kids all over the Northwest Territories. They just weren't succeeding in these schools that were set up to the model of what you might call, you know, modern American and Canadian education. And so they sent some psychologists up there from southern Canada and from the United States, and they tested a bunch of these tribal kids. And A lot of them were Dene, which are the caribou hunters. They travel, many of them still do, travel 1,000 miles south every winter and 1,000 miles north every summer in you know, following the caribou herds. In fact, a friend of mine, Dr. Will Crinan, was the physician to the Dene people for some years, a Red Cross doctor. Ended up being Pol Pot's physician for the Red Cross. It, strange. Another interesting story that we'll get into someday. The Dene, the Inuit people, the people that used to be referred to by people in the United States as Eskimos until we discovered that that was, in their language, actually a slur. And many other tribes. There are something close to 100 different distinct tribal groups and 40 or 50 major languages up there, as I recall. And the psychologists came up and they decided that all these kids had attention deficit disorder. They weren't doing well in school. They were hyperactive. They were having these problems. And, in fact, Will Crinan told me about one school that he was the physician for, where the physician before him had come in and put 100% of the kids on Ritalin in the school, these tribal kids, 100% of them. So Don Morin, the premier, the governor of the Northwest Territories, called me up, and I had at that point written 5 or 6 books on attention deficit disorder, and I was saying, this is really not a problem. This is something that would make somebody highly adaptive in a hunting-gathering world, but would be a problem or more of a problem in an agricultural world or a public school, but that it was a skill set. And that's now the science is in, and I've been vindicated. That's this new book, The Edison Gene. But anyhow, he said, would you come up here and talk to the tribal people about this? Because they're being told by the doctors that their kids are all mentally ill. And I think that that's a mentally ill story. And so Louise and I flew up there in November. There was about 6 feet of snow on the ground. The winds were blowing at 40 miles an hour. It was 30, 40 degrees below zero. We flew up to Yellowknife and then across the Great Slave Lake to Fort Resolution, where there was this huge old lodge. They had about 300 people there representing over 100 different indigenous communities around all across the northern part of Canada. About a third of them spoke no European languages and had translators that were simultaneous translators who were sitting next to them. Most of them were the community's elders. I'd say two-thirds of the people in the room were people well past 50. And they're representing their communities. And then there were people, you know, school teachers and psychologists and therapists and counselors and police officers and the whole gamut of people who were dealing with these kids. And I did an all-day workshop on this, and Don was so excited about it that the next day, which was a Monday, he called the MLA, I forget what it stands for, the Legislative Assembly, anyway, the legislature of the Northwest Territories into session, and we had a half-day meeting with them where we just sat around the table. It's the only, or at the time, it was the only, in a democratic state, the only consensus-based legislature in the world, done the way that tribal people historically make decisions. And they sit in a circle. And remarkable. And I have so much respect for Don. We got to know him quite well and still stay in touch with him. And anyhow, the point of the story. I'm in the middle of the day, and it's during a coffee break. And I'm... Tribal people, indigenous people, tend not to give you a lot of feedback. They tend to be very reserved. And I didn't know how I was doing with this thing, you know. And this guy comes up to me, this great big bear of a guy. He's 6 foot something with a ponytail down to the middle of his back that's flecked through with gray. Looking very friendly, but, you know, huge. And introduced himself. He said his name was Roy. And... said, you know, that he said, I thank you for coming up here and for sharing all this information about attention deficit disorder with us and what it is and what it isn't, and the myths about it and all this kind of stuff. He said, but he said, I think maybe you're missing a larger issue here. This was during the noon break, as I recall now. And I said, well, what's that? And he said, my son is in one of these schools. And he said, and now they're telling him that he's got to cut his hair. He's got a ponytail, which is the way our people have always had our hair long. There's actually a apparently a spiritual thing about, you know, it's like the antenna to draw energy or something. He didn't go into all that, but I'd heard it from others. Anyhow, he said that, you know, it's our tradition to have long hair. And he said, my son now is being told, encouraged by the teacher in the school to cut his hair because he looks too Indian. And he said, respectfully, and he was having, I mean, in this culture, confronting somebody is a very difficult thing. And he was looking at the floor through most of this conversation. And he said, respectfully, I'd like to say to you, if I may have your permission to speak openly about this. And I said, please, please do. He said, respectfully, I think that you're missing a point here. And he said, you know, we've been doing fine for 10, 20, 30,000 years up here. We have a rich culture. We have strong traditions. He said, I know the history of my mother and my grandmother and my great-grandmother. I know the history of my people going back 100 generations. We had strong communities. We took care of each other. We were, by however you define success, any criteria you want to pick, we were successful. We lived in one of the most barren places on earth. And for longer than you guys have been the United States of America, or this country has been Canada, and did so successfully and in peace. And then some of you white guys from the South came up and discovered that we had bauxite, or that we had copper, or that we had oil, or that we had, he named a couple other minerals. He said, need people work in the mines. And for those people to work in the mines, they had to be able to get a paycheck. And to get a paycheck, they had to be able to handle money. So they had to know about adding and subtracting, and they had to be able to read things to file their tax returns. And so you started schools so that they could get their paychecks so that they could work in the mines. And he said, I'd like to say to you, Mr. Hartman, he said, respectfully, he said, I think the problem that you're facing in this room may not be so much that our children are all suffering from a mental illness like these doctors from down south tell us. He said, it may be simply that we don't want to be your slaves. And, you know, I just got it. I mean, I absolutely got it. And so I asked Roy if I could have his permission to tell his, to share his comments with the group. And he said, as long as you don't identify me, he said, that would be very bad manners. And so after the noon break, I spoke to the entire group, and I brought this issue up. And I said, do you see the school system as a tool of cultural destruction, of imperialism, as it were? Well, that word isn't strong enough, and genocide is wrong because it's not killing off everybody. It's culturecide, but we don't have a word for it. And there was, for the first time in the day, there was like this sudden response in the room. And I got the governor of the province in the back of the room watching this thing. And I'm going into unknown territory with this. And all of a sudden, all these elders are nodding their heads and talking to their translators, and people are raising their hands, and it got real lively. And we spent the rest of the day, said, you know, screw this discussion of ADD. We're going to talk about how schools and indigenous communities can serve the needs of the community rather than simply prepare good workers for the mines. And it was powerful, it was effective, it was extraordinary. And about halfway through the afternoon, Don left the back of the room, and I'm thinking, oh no, he's so upset he's gonna call up and tell him to, you know, throw me out of the country as soon as I'm done speaking or something. And after we were all done, I was, you know, because this isn't what he had hired me to come and do. He had hired me to come and talk about attention deficit disorder, learning disabilities, how you teach kids to read, stuff like that. And at the very end, when I was all done, he had come back into the room, and he said, I'm sorry I had to leave there for about a half hour. He said, I called all the members of the Legislative Assembly and asked each one of them if they would get together with us tomorrow, because he said, they all need to hear what you have to say. And that led to that. And so I think that there's a real issue here that slavery is not gone in North America. In those places where there are still indigenous cultures, it's alive and well. Look at the mining, look at the exploitation of Native American peoples out west. and among those people who have historically been oppressed in the United States, particularly those of African ancestry, the remnants of it are still echoing loudly. And until the playing field is truly leveled, and the evidence of that will be that the results will be the same. If you start people out at the same place, they end up at the same place. If they're not ending up at the same place, it's because the starting lines are different. Until the playing field is leveled, those who represent power in this society, who make fun of or belittle or degrade or try to make light of or score political points at the expense of those who don't have power in this society, who are working very hard to succeed and achieve, or who have given up in a way that I can well understand. Those like Limbaugh and his ilk who make these kinds of comments, I think, are doing more harm to our nation than good. It's just not a healthy thing. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. If you'd like to be on the program, if you have some thoughts, David in San Francisco's on the line. David, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, Tom, I'm in Santa Fe.
Oh, Santa Fe, I'm sorry. I read that wrong.
I called to make a few comments about Rush Limbaugh, but I was really interested in your story. Do I have time to make a comment about that as well?
Yeah, we still have, we got about 4 minutes before the break here, I think.
Okay, I'll try to make it quick. There's a movement afoot in Hawaii to restore sovereignty to the original Hawaiians.
Yes.
And they kind of got the same deal as you were talking about these Indian folks, in that when the people came over and started the plantations, sugar stuff and all that, they tried to put the Hawaiians to work, but they couldn't relate to the concept of a work week based on hours and a paycheck.
Yeah.
And so they were stuck. They had to send off to Portugal and Japan and China and the Philippines to import workers. And consequently, the Hawaiians wound up low men on their own totem pole in their own lands.
Right, because they didn't have a culture that was based on slavery.
They didn't understand it. They came to work. They didn't even go back to get their check.
Right.
Didn't make any sense to them.
Yeah, in most indigenous cultures, what you do all day long is provide safety and security for everybody else. And if stuff gets made along the way, it's kind of like, not by accident, but that's kind of a side effect of it. Whereas what you do in slave cultures is you make stuff all day long, and then you get rewarded for that if you do it well with safety and security. It's a huge difference between these two different types of cultures.
Yeah. Well, a couple comments about Rush. I heard Rush Limbaugh many years ago on the radio, and I could only take 10 minutes of him. He was such a name-calling bigot. It's amazing. And somewhere out there must be archives of those shows. I mean, when he talked about black people, he would stop just short of using the N-word. And on his current show, if you listen to him, anytime he's talking to a black person, he never misses an opportunity to say, let me ask you a question.
Right, yeah, he always uses ax instead of
ask. He's trying to say he's not a racist, where he always does that to black callers.
Yeah.
What a bunch of crap.
Yeah, I agree. David, was that your point, by the way?
Yeah, okay. Just really, I hope that somebody digs up some of those old radio shows and gets them out there so people can hear how blatant he was. You know,
yeah.
Clinton gave him a reason for being. That's how he came to prominence, was made a career out of bashing Clinton.
Oh, I know. And
before that, he was just, yeah, you know, a racist name-calling jerk. He was very little above Michael Savage.
Well, I don't want to get into defending Rush, occasionally he has something useful to say, and the fact of the matter is that he does good radio, and that's simply a reality. David, thanks for your call. I appreciate your comments. I think that the larger issue here, and the one that I want to focus on, is that it's not really just about whether or not Rush Limbaugh is a bigot, because frankly, I think that he thinks that he's not. I would suspect that he thinks he's a culturist, and he doesn't realize how destructive that is. I mean, that's what I've been talking about in the first hour of this program, is culturalism, you know, cultural destruction and recognizing. But I would suspect he would say that he's not a racist, that he is that he is a culturist, that he doesn't appreciate those who are of a particular, whatever he defines, you know, ghetto culture or something. And he makes fun of them like that. But the point, the larger point here is that there is this whole conservative worldview, which we saw, you know, with Trent Lott's comments, and you see all the time with these guys, that is just absolutely grounded in this notion that well, I don't want to try and summarize it other than say that it's really a racist notion. And it's not healthy. It's not healthy for democracy. It's not healthy for the United States of America. It's not healthy for any of us. And that's the real issue. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Does Burger King have a new fire grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire grilled chicken, fire roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire roasted tomato sauce on a fresh baked baguette, all with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over, the fire's ready. Not a low sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
We are going to do Rumsfeld now. You know, I talk about doing acid 30 years ago. Rumsfeld must do it daily. Right before he goes out for a press conference, Rummy comes out all acid-headed up and, you know, just stoned on his ass, just completely freaked out.
Oh, hi. I noticed the doorknobs are all crawling around the ceiling. Hello. Ask me nothing. Get these spiders off of me. Ah! People are waving things at me. There's stuff jumping out of doors. Ew, Jesus. You know, the fire hose on the wall there, it just rose up like a snake. And you're asking me questions like, I don't know this stuff.
This is the Secretary of Defense, Truth Seeker. It's insane. Do you understand? These people are crazy.
So crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the Democracy Zone. This is Tom Hartman, the IE America Radio Network. 72% of all illicit drug users in the United States are white, yet 58% of those in state prisons for drug felonies are black. What does this say about the state of affairs in America? We haven't yet even gotten into talking about Russian drugs. The editorial in today's Wall Street Journal, want to get to that. We'll get into that in the next hour. For the moment, however, we have Bob in Texas. It's called 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Bob, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Good afternoon.
Hey.
Hey, it's just wonderful to hear your show. I got the Sirius satellite radio because of this channel, and your show is worth every cent of it.
Well, thank you.
It's really nice to hear a radio show that, for one thing, you don't have to throw things at, you know, after a little while. You're talking about ideas and about historical context of what's going on, and that's so important. You know, you want to talk about historical context. Limbaugh and his folks are using techniques they pioneered in Nazi Germany.
Well, truth be told, the Nazis didn't invent them. The Nazis simply, Goebbels did a good job of articulating them. But, yeah, I understand what you're saying.
But, yeah, it's hate. It's
propaganda.
You don't like your life. It's these folks' problem. It's
right.
It's the blacks. It's the feminists. It's the liberals.
Yeah, it's called blame the other.
Your life.
It's called blame the other.
That's right. That's right. And I sure appreciate it. I mean, when I was listening to you talk about what happened in Northwest Territories, I'm thinking, you know, you don't hear this kind of intellectual, this level of thought anywhere else on the radio, and I sure appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Bob. Don't accuse me of being like NPR, though, or we'll lose the show.
No. But they're the right kind of ideas, and you give us the context. But the big thing I keep worrying about is I think Al Franken's right in that we've been taking it and we've been taking it, and they've slimed us for so many years. And we can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
We've got to fight back to them.
It's Howard Beale time.
If it's something, you have to answer it.
Amen. It's Howard Beale time. We're mad as hell and not going to take it anymore. Thank you, Bob, for your comments. We've got a few other callers. Stay on over the break, and we'll pick you up at the other end of the hour. What do the Rush Limbaugh scandals tell us about the state of race relations and the enforcement of drug laws in the U.S. in 2003? This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We'll be back right after the news.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling up
about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Arnold Schwarzenegger went on the attack yesterday, denouncing the latest sexual harassment allegations made against him as untrue and charging that all of the 11th-hour accusations were intended to wreck his campaign for governor. The Democratic National Committee issued a resolution yesterday calling on Schwarzenegger to apologize for the alleged remarks about Hitler. The Republican gubernatorial frontrunner dismissed the move as sleaze politics. Schwarzenegger came under fire after the Los Angeles Times reported on Thursday that six women claimed he groped or sexually harassed them between 1975 and 2000. After the story was published, five other women came forward to report similar incidents, including two who said Friday the actor harassed them on the set of the 1988 film Twins. The White House has ordered a major reorganization of American efforts to quell violence in Iraq and Afghanistan and to speed the reconstruction of both countries, according to senior administration officials. The new effort includes the creation of an Iraq Stabilization Group, which will be run by National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice. It comes at a time when polls show that Americans are less confident of Mr. Bush's foreign policy skills than at any time since the terrorist attacks 2 years ago. At the same time, Congress is using President Bush's request for $87 billion to question the administration's failure to anticipate the violence in Iraq and the obstacles to reconstruction. The president knows his legacy and maybe his re-election depends on getting this right, an administration official said. This is as close as anyone will come to acknowledgement that it's not working. Israel bombed a target inside Syria that it claimed was an Islamic Jihad training base, striking deep inside its neighbor's territory Sunday for the first time in 3 decades. The airstrike alarmed the Arab world and deepened concerns that violence could spread throughout the region. Islamic Jihad claimed responsibility for Saturday's bombing, in which 55 people were wounded. Washington urged both sides to show restraint, but added pointed criticism of Syria. More IE America news after this.
Hi, my name's Maria, and I'm alive today because I was given CPR last year by Rick,
who took a class with the Red Cross after I received blood from Jamal, who gave blood
after being encouraged by my friend Angela,
who helped Jamal's whole family get the help and support they needed after losing their home to a fire.
When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. By getting involved with the Red Cross, you never know how many people your actions will affect. To get involved, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
Thailand is going to use mice to test food for poison before it is served to President Bush and 20 other leaders at a regional summit in Bangkok this month, a top health official said on Friday. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh-baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
If you wonder why your taxes keep going up, 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 one big reason is that corporations keep finding sneaky ways to dodge paying their share of the burden, thus shifting the cost of public services onto the backs of working stiffs. With the recent corporate scandals, we've gotten peeks into offshore partnerships, Bermuda tax havens, and other newfangled flimflams to avoid corporate tax responsibilities. But one of the largest means of tax avoidance is an old provision called cost of doing business. Under this broad category, corporate chieftains can slash their tax bills by claiming that everything from their marble-walled executive bathrooms to their lavish advertising budgets are necessary expenses for conducting business, and therefore fully deductible from their corporate income tax. In recent years, however, what they claim to be necessary has been stretched so thinly that anyone with an iota of common sense can read the tax fraud right through it. Among the current allowable deductions are the corporate helicopter to ferry the CEO back and forth to work, the company-owned hunting lodge for top executives, the business meetings in Bimini, the luxury skybox for Yankee games, and so forth, as far as the corporate imagination can wander. How far it can wander was made clear by Dennis Kozlowski, the now disgraced honcho of Tyco. As an essential tax-deductible expense, Dennis included most of the tab for a $2 million party he threw for his wife Karen's 40th birthday in Sardinia, Italy. This gay gala featured a life-size ice sculpture of Michelangelo's famous statue of David, complete with vodka streaming from the statue's penis into the crystal glasses of Dennis's delighted guests. This is Jim Hightower saying, isn't it good to know that you're paying more in taxes so corporate greed heads like Kozlowski can cavort so ridiculously? Literally passing the buck to us ordinary taxpayers.
You can see the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, friends, broadcasting live coast to coast on the IE America Radio Network. This is Tom Hartman. We're also broadcasting from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite and broadcasting live on the Internet from radiopower.org, ieamericaradio.com, live365.com, and with archives at whiterosesociety.org. You can find all of those links off tomhartman.com or liberaltalkradio.com. And by the way, radiopower.org and whiterosesociety.org, two organizations. One, the first formed offers live streaming of the program, and the second on the Internet. And the second has a three-week archive of the program, which is a wonderful and valuable and useful thing for many people around the world. Are both donor-listener-supported, and they're both just skating by on the edge. So if you use those services, I encourage you to send a few bucks their way. Anyhow, we were talking about Rush Limbaugh in the last hour, and we still have three callers on the line who wanted to weigh in on the topic. Tim in Hartford, Connecticut is the first who's called 1-800-TALK-YES. Tim, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
You know, it was interesting. I got an email alert from about a different subject matter that directed me to his site. I won't even mention his name anymore. His website, and there is the most obvious. You know, you think someone like this might lay low on the radar screen, but he's essentially saying that today on his website that General Clark and Hillary Clinton are involved in some sort of sexual tension. You know, saying they're wrapped in a blanket with "Will they do it?" You know, first off, these people, especially guys like that, they've got to make up their mind if they're going to attack Hillary Clinton. And I'm certainly no fan of her. They've got to make up her mind whether she's a lesbian or not. I mean, for years they were going around touting that. And now they've got, you know, Clark, who I've never heard of, you know, for the most part, except for being a NATO commander, is some sort of sexual lecher involved with this. Now,
well, it's trying to take the patina off the Arnold thing, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
There's more than one pervert in the race or something like that. But, you know, you got to keep in mind, Tim, for, you know, at a certain level, when Rush just, you know, signed another, what, $285 million 8-year contract with his syndicator. At a certain level, it's more about show business than anything else. And
oh, true, yeah, and the shock value. I mean, this is a man early in his career, you know, essentially just attacked homosexuals as all having animals in various places of their bodies, that sort of stuff. You know, this is, you know, Howard Stern, whatever, kind of, you know. And I have to take exception. I don't really think it's that good of radio, but the fact of the matter is it's offered essentially for free to most of these stations.
Yeah.
So, it you know, it under me, it's... You know, it's got its imitators, everything else out there, and I think it's really, you know, just to talk about a downward spiral across this nation.
Yeah, this is the thing, Tim, that I think is so underestimated in America. And if you look back at the history of the late 1930s and throughout the 30s, actually, from around 33 or 34 when Father Coughlin first went on the air, right up until World War II or just before World War II when they finally pulled him off because he was essentially outed as an anti-Semitic crank. The power of preaching on the radio to change people's minds is dramatically underestimated. All these guys say, oh, it's just entertainment. It's just entertainment. And, you know, don't pay any attention to the political content. That's really just, you know, because it's just entertainment. I'll tell you right up front, I'm talking about politics. And I take this stuff seriously. I think it's real. But, you know, for some reason, and I think it's because they were afraid of the Fairness Doctrine, frankly, a lot of these guys on the right have been saying for a long time, oh, it's just, you know, we're just, you know, it's just showbiz and all that. Anyhow, thanks, Tim. You make a good point, and I appreciate you sharing it with us. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. Jim in Santa Fe is on the line. Jim, thanks for waiting over that long break there. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, no problem. You might be surprised or disappointed to hear me say this, but I used to listen to Rush for a long time until I got kind of bored with him. But I never had the feeling he was racist any more than he'd kind of make fun of everybody in general. But as far as this comment about football, and I have no opinion about the, you know, validity of it from a football point of view. I don't know anything about football. But I heard the statement. I heard it repeated several times. And I have to say it sounds to me like, well, within the bounds of normal opinion, kind of media commentary, which is what I think he was commenting on. I don't hear it as racist. And I think the threat to democracy is that people are so sensitive that you would say that you think a statement like that is a threat to democracy. I think it was well within the bounds of discussion and media comment.
Well, you raised two interesting points, Jim. The first is whether or not Rush was, you know, just baiting the media. I mean, he's made a career out of this for 15 years. He's, you know, perpetuating this myth of the liberal media, and anybody who disagrees with him is part of a them. And so, you know, he goes on ESPN, and what does he do? He accuses the sports media, and he's sitting here in the middle of a room full of guys which are the sports media, of being essentially pro-black racists. And, you know, so, yeah, it's major foot and mouth in terms of probably media political correctness or whatever. Whether it's a subject for legitimate debate, it may be, but probably in the Columbia Journalism Review, I don't think so on ESPN. They want to talk about, you know, who did this play? Was that a good, you know, how, you know, it's... I think they think that was over the top, frankly. But the other issue is, you know, is Rush racist? I don't know his heart. I don't know the guy personally. I think that a lot of Americans, both white and black and Hispanic and I mean, right across the, but particularly a lot of white Americans are racists in as much as they look at the way things are and say, well, you know, why don't they just pull themselves up by their bootstraps? Or, you know, this is how things are. This is okay. And they make fun of people who are adapting as well as they can to a culture, you know, an underclass culture. And there are underclass cultures, by the way, among all the races.
And there's multiple underclass cultures within each of the races. But for Rush to make, you know, using, you know, his use of the word axe instead of ask, his imitating black accents in a way that is intended to make fun. And then his saying, oh, I just want them to have equal opportunity. No. It's that is the most, in my opinion, the most insidious and pernicious form of racism, because it is so deeply embedded. It overlooks the reality of the situation in America, of life in America.
Well, as I said, I listened to him for years, and I hear how he makes fun of everybody. So it wasn't limited to blacks or Jesse Jackson or anybody. He did an excellent Bill Clinton imitation, too.
Yeah, he does.
So anyway, I despise him politically, but I give him a little more credit. Onto what I think is a more important matter, I just hope that his getting busted or almost getting busted for being a junkie will cause him to and his listeners to rethink the attitude about throwing drug users in prison for, you know, what's essentially a victimless crime. I just hope it'll humbleize him a little in that regard.
Well, the Wall Street Journal today has an editorial, Rush to Judgment, in which they bring up the, you know, the Jesus' parable about the woman caught in adultery and not casting the first stone. And they say that Rush's case should remind us that we are all human, fallen creatures. And this is, you know, another dimension of that unconscious racism that's so pervasive in the white community in America. And that is that we look at these statistics that 70% of drug users in America are white, and yet 58% of those people in state prisons for drug possession offenses are black. And yet, you know, blacks constitute what, 14% of American population, something like that. And people think nothing of it. They think, oh, well, it must be that, you know, all black people love taking drugs. There's actually lower drug use in the black community than there is in the white community. So the Wall Street Journal comes along and says, well, you know, let's just not cast the first stone. We're all fallen human creatures. But they're not extending that to those people of color in prisons. And that's, you know, this is the other side of that same coin there, Jim. Thanks for your call. I appreciate your calling and sharing your thoughts with us. Kaz in Painesdale, Michigan is on the line. Kaz, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey. First thing, Tom, I want to thank you for your show, and you and others, other liberal talk show hosts, are a little breath of fresh air from the garbage we are getting from this so-called liberal media out there.
Yeah.
But I just want to make a comment to Rush's listeners. You know, don't weep over poor Rush. Rush Limbaugh, Charlie Manson, and Satan will always have a following. Always. And this guy that just called...
It's all about showbiz, Kaz. I mean, his ratings are going through the roof right now as a result of this.
Yeah, I wanted to make
a comment. He's laughing all the way to the bank.
I want to make a comment about the last caller that just stirred me about Rush's non... well, anyways, much to do about nothing until the to-do is about you. That's right. What that caller reminded me of. And Rush Limbaugh fans, as far as I'm concerned, are the same people that really get a big charge out of paraplegic jokes. I mean, that's my comment.
Yeah, boy, that's a tough one. I can't even imagine a paraplegic joke. I guess I've lived a sheltered life.
I mean, I'm around these people. I'm in an area up here, and I mean, they drive me totally nuts. I mean, it's, you know, the first thing you do is defend Rush. I go, well, okay, you know, he's funny. Well. Okay, if you think he's funny, well, that's fine. But another thing, all these conservatives, all these big conservatives, and they're blaming, you know, they want to... Now, Clinton, I don't know when he was born, but let's look at what happened before the last Depression. I think if I remember history correctly, it was all the foundation was taken out from the country, which is labor, and all the money was on top.
Oh, yeah, the Supreme Court actually ruled in the 1920s that minimum wage laws were unconstitutional.
And all the sharks started to eat each other, and what happened?
We had the Great Depression. Oh,
yes.
Yeah. And we're now at or within spitting distance of those same kinds of inequalities between rich and poor and the same evisceration of the middle class in the United States that we were then. And the similar things were happening in 1854, which led to the panic of 1854 and the depression of the 1850s that some say in many, you know, exacerbated, caused, led to whatever, the Civil War. These things tend to go in cycles. There was another one in the 1770s also, about every 80 years. Anyhow, Kaz, thanks for calling. Thanks for sharing that with us. I do appreciate that. Joe in Brookings, Oregon has been on the line here for a bit. Joe, we'll get to your call right after this break. Stay tuned. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We'll be right back.
And we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No, I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Does Burger King have a new fire-grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire-grilled chicken, fire-roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on a fresh-baked baguette, all with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide.
Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
If you wonder why your taxes keep going up, 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 one big reason is that corporations keep finding sneaky ways to dodge paying their share of the burden, thus shifting the cost of public services onto the backs of working stiffs. With the recent corporate scandals, we've gotten peeks into offshore partnerships, Bermuda tax havens, and other newfangled flimflams to avoid corporate tax responsibilities. But one of the largest means of tax avoidance is an old provision called cost of doing business. Under this broad category, corporate chieftains can slash their tax bills by claiming that everything from their marble-walled executive bathrooms to their lavish advertising budgets are necessary expenses for conducting business, and therefore fully deductible from their corporate income tax. In recent years, however, what they claim to be necessary has been stretched so thinly that anyone with an iota of common sense can read the tax fraud right through it. Among the current allowable deductions are the corporate helicopter to ferry the CEO back and forth to work, the company-owned hunting lodge for top executives, the business meetings in Bimini, the luxury skybox for Yankee games, and so forth, as far as the corporate imagination can wander. How far it can wander was made clear by Dennis Kozlowski, the now-disgraced honcho of Tyco. As an essential tax-deductible expense, Dennis included most of the tab for a $2 million party he threw for his wife Karen's 40th birthday in Sardinia, Italy. This gay gala featured a life-size ice sculpture of Michelangelo's famous statue of David, complete with vodka streaming from the statue's penis into the crystal glasses of Dennis's delighted guests. This is Jim Hightower saying, isn't it good to know that you're paying more in taxes so corporate greed heads like Kozlowski can cavort so ridiculously? Literally passing the buck to us ordinary taxpayers.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
This is Tom Hartman, the vast, radical, middle conspiracy. You're in the middle of it. $6,000 for a radio telephone. How'd you like to be the guy who gets the contract to sell those things? $6,000 for a phone. You could buy walkie-talkie radios for $54.99 in the United States or a satellite phone for $495. But in Iraq, buddies of the Bush administration have said it's going to cost $6,000 to install every single telephone. They've asked for $3.6 million for 400 handheld phones and 200 satellite phones at an average of $6,000 each. Pickup trucks! You can go buy an award-winning GMC truck for $15,454 here in the United States. But for some reason, maybe the auto dealer is Jeb Bush's son or nephew or something. For some reason, those pickup trucks are costing $33,000 if they're going to be used in Iraq. We build prison beds in the United States, $14,000 a bed, $55,000 a bed to build them in Iraq. And in the United States, if you want to go to the Harvard Business School, assuming you can get in, it's $4,000 a month for tuition. But Bush in his new 80-some-odd billion-dollar proposal is asking for $10,000 for a four-week course per person to send people to business school. That's quite some business school. Anyhow, Joe in Brookings, Oregon, has been patiently waiting in line. Joe, your thoughts on all this? This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. You're on the air.
Yeah, well, Rush Limbaugh getting busted for illegal painkillers, it sounds like a Seinfeld episode or something to me.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Bizarre. Well, about the drug laws, they're so racist. I mean, the obvious example is, crack cocaine will get, black people put in prison for a long, long time. And then a yuppie white guy on Wall Street, he'll get busted for the pure stuff. And, maybe we can make a deal or something or put you on probation. And
right.
This even relates to what happened with the 2000 presidential election down in Florida. You had so many people that got taken off the voting rolls, and by coincidence they just happened to be black, and guess what? There was a more bigger deal made about the punch cards and all that nonsense, and all the black people who got taken off the voting rolls, because
yeah.
A lot of them have to be ex-felons and all that.
Well, actually, Joe, they took the felon list from Texas. They mm-hmm. The Jeb and Catherine Harris hired a Texas firm for millions of dollars, and the state of Florida had never spent more than a few hundred bucks to check their list. Gave this company millions of dollars to compare the Texas felon list against the Florida voter list, and they kicked something like 90,000 people off the voters' rolls, and most of them were African Americans. And you know what percentage of those people actually turned out to be felons in Florida?
I remember it was a whole big phony deal.
Yeah, it was either 1% or 3%. I don't have it in front of me. We did a contest on it, but it was 3% or under. I mean, it was irrelevant. And those people, and so you got 90,000 people who can't vote, who generally typically would vote Democratic, and who are not felons,
mm-hmm.
whose crime is being black in Florida. And not only could they not vote in the 2000 election, but Jeb Bush was, ensured his reelection in 2002 by keeping them off the lists for the 2002
election.
Yeah, and
at that time, Al Gore, he didn't make a big deal about those people getting kicked off the voting rolls. Well, I guess it went ahead and bit him in the butt. So
yeah.
That's something for the Democrats to think about.
Well, they should have. I don't think that Gore had any idea of the magnitude of the scam. I mean, it didn't come out until Greg Palast did the BBC documentary on it, which was a couple of weeks after the whole thing, after the dust had settled.
Well, there's no excuse for not knowing now, there is it.
Yeah, no, there's not. And there's a marvelous movie about it called Unprecedented. Unprecedented.org, I think, is their website. And and you can buy it in video store, rent it in video stores, pick it up on Amazon.com and whatnot. And it's a dynamite piece about what happened in Florida. And I encourage you to check it out. Yes, I am 2 minutes of the movie, but nonetheless, it's the best documentary out there, what happened in Florida. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network, Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Complications in the caviar business might threaten a fish on the endangered species list. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Sturgeon from the Caspian Sea have long been the main source of caviar on the global market, but the decline of the Caspian fisheries has people turning to North American sturgeon as an alternative. The rising price of North American caviar is making it harder to protect the pallid sturgeon of the Missouri and Mississippi rivers. The pallid sturgeon is extremely rare. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has a special team that's working on its recovery. Steve Krentz leads the project. Krentz says the fish already faces a long list of threats. A big one is the loss of habitat due to the construction of dams on the rivers where it lives. Poaching for caviar is becoming a more serious problem, and Krentz says even legitimate fishing puts the pallid sturgeon at risk. That's because they're easily mistaken for shovel-nosed sturgeon, and those can be taken legally.
The season for pallid sturgeon is obviously closed because of its endangered status, but the problem is it can be misidentified and incidentally taken as part of the bycatch of shovel-nosed sturgeon. It's fairly tempting to keep a 10-pound sturgeon or 20-pound sturgeon knowing it's going to have a pound or two of eggs.
Krentz says yielding to that temptation can be costly. The penalty for keeping a pallid sturgeon is up to a year in prison and a $100,000 fine. Krentz says protecting the pallid sturgeon is about more than just one species of fish.
Losing this species is basically just a preliminary indicator of what's happening to our riverine habitats and shows that we're not treating those rivers like we should, and we're overexploiting or degrading those systems to the point that not even the sturgeon can survive them.
That's Steve Krentz of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
8 years of peace and prosperity. Scandal in the White House. An election is what we need. From coast to coast to Washington.
Protect protecting you from the conservative weapons of mass deception. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number. Stanley, we're wrapping this Rush discussion up here and getting ready to move on to what's the conservative political spin on Arnold, David Kay, Joe Wilson, and will they succeed in fooling the American people as well as they did about the so-called threat of Iraq? Stanley has some final thoughts on Rush in Santa Fe. Stanley, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom. It was really funny this morning. I heard the ABC affiliate radio program, and their theme was hypocrisy regarding Arnold, Rush, and Israel, Syria. And I commented on the first two and pointed out regarding Rush that if he weren't making fun of people who have addictions and so forth, that and that hypocrisy would not have complicated his situation. And with respect to Arnold, I pointed out the facts in the recent David Korn piece regarding, I think, or was it David Korn or Greg Palast, regarding the meeting with Ken Lay and Karl Rove and the resulting...
I'm going to get into that here.
Okay, and I just, as I pointed that out, they immediately cut me off.
Yeah.
And went on to cover up what I was saying with their own point of view.
Yeah,
and
keep it to the fluff, right?
Exactly. And I on another note, I'm a painter, and I'm working on a piece right now that involves the energy meetings with Cheney and the maps which showed the oil exploration.
Aren't those extraordinary? I put a link to them off my off our program notes page from a week or so ago. You can find it off TomHartman.com.
Well,
they're on judicialwatch.org.
As I was researching it, I came across another map that I thought was very interesting, and I'll see if I can find that link again and send it to you. But it was a George H.W. Bush era map of the no-fly zones. And the no-fly zone happens to coincide exactly the northern line with the top of the exploration line.
Oh, that's interesting. It makes perfect sense.
It's so exciting to be alive right now.
Well, here, yeah, I mean, just let me just add to this. This is from the Halliburton website. You can read it, halliburton.com/news/archive/2003/corp-nws_091903.jsp. Okay, this is the Halliburton website. The contract, and I'm giving you excerpts from it rather than, well, I'll just read the whole thing. The contract to do the work in Iraq, similar to work the company performed in both Bosnia and Kosovo, was competitively bid in 2001. The contract to do the work in Iraq was competitively bid in 2001. And now, why was Halliburton bidding on doing work in Iraq in 2001? I'm wondering. What do you think, Stanley?
Well, I think that, I forget, was it Truth Out this morning that had a piece which someone wrote about what would happen if John, the special prosecutor or counsel, were appointed and the questions that would be asked and where it leads.
Yeah, you did.
I think that the public's pressure toward appointing an independent counsel will unravel a great many of the myths that lead back through the first Bush administration, and it'd be interesting if we could.
These guys have so many skeletons in their closet.
Listen, I'd just like to say one more thing,
sure,
that is about you, and I don't want to sound like a punctuation mark on another radio show, but the work that you do, the breadth of the work that you do that I, and I imagine we as listeners, are becoming aware of is so much greater than this radio talk show, which sets you so far apart from, at least for me, anything I've ever experienced in radio talk. And I really have to congratulate you on your commitment to what you do and the result, the fruit that it bears.
Well, thank you, Stanley. The reality is that I'm a hyperactive kid who grew up. I've been easily bored my entire life, and so if some challenge comes along, I go, yeah, that sounds like fun, you know. Let's go off to Africa and start a community for starving people, or let's, you know, whatever.
Well, you know, the unique aspect about you is that I do that too, but I just have been reviewed in a magazine that comes out next month that talks about my energy that way, but I'm referred to as someone who occasionally spreads himself a little too thin.
Yeah, I know that one. Welcome to the tribe, Stanley.
Yeah, and really, thank you so much for your work, and the best of luck.
Thanks. I appreciate the call, and thank you for your kind words. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, 38 minutes after the hour. And Kevin in Tampa, Florida, has been patiently waiting in the line. Kevin, thanks so much for hanging on so long. What do you think? What's the conservative political spin here on Arnold and David Kay and Joe Wilson? Are these guys going to succeed in fooling the American people like they did about Iraq?
Well, I certainly hope not. I wanted to mention something to you, Tom. You were talking about those trucks in Iraq.
Yeah.
I figured out it's got to be dealer prep and undercoating.
There you go. That's it. No doubt about it.
Listen, before I get, I want to talk about Ambassador Wilson and all, but I wanted to mention something to you. I never anymore listen to conservative talk radio.
Yeah.
And got turned off of it real fast in the 80s, but... Anyway, on Friday, I couldn't help but putting on some to see how they were spinning our buddy Rush.
Sure.
And there was a conservative talk show. He's here in Tampa. I don't know if you ever heard of him. He's out of Atlanta. His name is Schnitt.
No, I don't know.
Okay. He was blasting Rush.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and it was basically Rush was his hero, and he felt let down.
They're eating their own.
Yeah, he felt let down.
Jeez.
He really did. You know, he said the jury's out, we have to wait, but he really felt let down by it.
Yeah, I don't know if you caught my show on Thursday, the first hour of this program.
No, I didn't.
I spent an hour defending Rush, not on his statements on ESPN, but about the drug thing, saying, I won't say I was defending him. I actually had a couple of people email me saying, how could you defend it? I wasn't defending him. What I was saying was, this, hopefully, will be a wake-up call to American conservatives that drug abuse is a medical problem, not a criminal problem.
Right.
And it's insane that we are putting people in prison for using drugs. Number one, when if it's a problem for them, it's a medical problem, should be treated in a hospital or by physicians. And number two, if it's not a problem for them, then what business is it of the government anyway to tell us what we can do in the privacy of our own homes? Yes, I'm all in favor of laws that say you can't drive while you're stoned, but well, anyhow, we're getting off on a tangent here, Kevin. But
right, and that's not what I called.
Yeah, you called about Ambassador Wilson. Tell me
your thoughts. Yeah, this morning I was watching C-SPAN this morning.
Yeah,
and it really came across very bluntly. They had the managing editor of Time Magazine was on,
mm-hmm.
and they were talking about the leak, and the calls that were coming in. It really is sickening how so much of the public, and I know it's a minority, but it's still a large minority that seems to be buying into it. They're buying into this attack on Wilson.
Sure.
As if that's part of the issue.
Well, there's this my team, your team mentality, going back to our tribe discussion. And the Republicans are very well organized, the conservative base of the Republicans, and there's a get-out-the-callers move right now. Call into the talk shows. You know, I got an email from Ed Gillespie, the former Enron lobbyist, now head of the Republican National Committee, a couple of days ago, talking about the campaign and all the things that we need to do. And he didn't say, you know, call your local talk shows. But there are campaigns out there on the right to get people not just to vote, but to speak out. The RNC has a website where you can fill out form letters and send them into newspapers as if you were writing letters to the editor, and they write them for you.
Well, it's really not even that as much, because people on the left do that too. But what was getting to me was that there's a whole question that has to deal with disclosing a CIA operative.
Right, breaking the law.
That has nothing to do. I don't care if Ambassador Wilson was a Democrat, Republican, fascist, communist, Nazi, a Martian. That's 1,000% irrelevant.
Yep.
Has nothing to do with it.
Yep.
It has nothing to do with who sent him to Niger.
Well, that's one of the reasons, Kevin, why I think that there's so much underneath this, that they're afraid that if the lid comes off, that people are going to be horrified by what they see under there, and it might go all the way to the President of the United States.
I agree with you, and I'll tell you, the press in this country, they're just a bunch of wimps, but... This guy, the guy that took Ari Fleisch's job, I keep on forgetting his name.
Yeah.
But they're not letting up on him.
Yeah.
They're keeping it up. They're keeping it up. And
Scotty.
And one of the things here
Scotty
is.
Scotty McClellan.
It's, yeah, McClellan. it's one of their guys, even though Bob Novak's some kind of a whore, but in my opinion anyway, but he's one of them, and they don't like them being attacked. And even though they're not attacking, there's questions coming up about Novak.
Yeah.
And the confidentiality that the press has and the right to reveal the source or not reveal their source. And I think that's part of what's going on with the press and the way they're questioning this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all playing out very interesting, Kevin. Kevin, thanks for the call. I appreciate you sharing that with us. And, you know, here's a startling statistic, and then I want to get to Kalamazoo Jim. I know he's got some good comments on this, but just I want to real quickly share this as a setup here. Here are the basic fallacies about Iraq. 48% of Americans incorrectly believed that evidence of links between Iraq and Al-Qaeda had been found. 22% of Americans believed that weapons of mass destruction had been found in Iraq. 25% of Americans believed that world public opinion favored our going to war with Iraq. And overall, 60% of Americans had one of three of these misperceptions. This is from truthouthere.org. And then they do an analysis of the listeners. Those people who had one or more of these misperceptions, 80% of the people with one or more misperceptions got their information primarily from Fox. People who only 71% of them had one or more of these misperceptions, CBS was their primary news source. Only 61% people who had only 61% of them believed one or more of these three misperceptions, ABC was their primary news source. Drops down to 55% with NBC, 55% with CNN. Those people who got most of their news from reading the newspaper, print sources, only 47% of them believed one of these three lies about Iraq. And those people who get most of their news from NPR or public broadcasting, only 23% believed one of these three, not just lies, just plain old false, not true things. 80% for viewers of Fox, 23% for viewers of NPR. You can see why the conservatives are going after public broadcasting America. Kalamazoo Jim, thanks for hanging on so long. I do truly appreciate it. Welcome you back to the program. You're live on the air.
Yes, we do love your show, don't we, though?
Well, thank you.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that Republican consulting company, their name was Choice Point, I believe.
Yeah.
They're valid. Out of all of them, tens of thousands, I think, between 2-3% were valid. Other people were just victims.
Yeah, this is you're talking about the Florida thing.
Yeah, wasn't Joseph Wilson the elder Bush's ambassador to Iraq?
Yes.
He was. He's a careerman.
Yeah.
But I want to call about was you spoke at the Heritage Foundation?
On Friday, yeah.
The belly of the beast?
The Talkers Magazine is the industry magazine for the talk radio industry.
Are you one of the Talkers Top 100?
No, I haven't been in it long enough, or they, you know, whatever, for whatever
who knows,
reason
who knows.
I'm not.
What I want to know about the project for the New American Century, they came from the Heritage Foundation, right?
You know, I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me.
They were the forum that it was.
There's a lot of overlap.
Funneled through. I just wanted to know what they had to say about PNAC.
The topic didn't come up. Basically, what it was the every year the Heritage Foundation lets Talkers Magazine use their auditorium, and they get a bunch of talk show hosts on who basically have a 2-hour argument with each other, and I was introduced by Michael Harrison, the publisher of Talkers Magazine, and one of the I think Michael Harrison is probably one of the most brilliant MCs, talk show hosts, commentators in America. The guy, he can keep all these people's names in his mind and what they are and their bios, and he never worked with notes. It's just, he's incredible. And he really knows the industry, and he really knows the business. And so there was a bunch of us. I was sitting next to Laura Ingram, and I forget the other woman who was on the other side of me.
Mm-hmm.
She's another up-and-coming conservative, the one who's taken Ollie North's place. And I ended up getting in this argument with Laura, which was interesting. But he introduced me as the lone liberal in the crowd. And whenever I said anything, about 9 people would start yelling at me or booing. And I was like, wow.
Yep.
But what's really interesting is that we have gone to the Heritage Foundation on a number of occasions and asked them for guests for this program, and they're always glad to get us guests. They offer to do research for us. I mean, it's not... We're not quite looking for that slant, but One of the things that I noticed was among the talk show hosts who were on the panel, several of them afterwards came up and introduced themselves to me and said, hey, great to have another voice on the air. These are the people who believe in democracy, even though they're on the right. Mm-hmm. They believe in democracy because they understand that the American way is about having a debate. And then there were the other people who went out of their way. I mean, I was standing talking to somebody, talking to Michael, in fact, the guy who put the thing on, and one of these talk show hosts comes up, says something to Michael. I look at him and start to, you know, shake his hand, and he just gives me this look and turns around and walks away.
It's
like, you know, how dare you be on the air and be liberal? And so about a half of them, and Laura Ingraham, by the way, was one of the, in my opinion, one of the good ones. I mean, she was willing to have an interplay, to have a discussion with me, and I respect that. I respect her.
Maybe the others just feel incompetent or intimidated or something, so
well,
that's how they handle it.
Who knows? I think it's my team, your team, taken to...
I have a printout of last year's Top 100 talkers, and Ward from KGO, I think, was the only non-right-winger in there. You know, there's a few in there that do. Like,
Mike Malloy was on last year, too.
Stuff, but of those that were political, Ward was the only one on there that wasn't a right-winger.
Now, last year, Mike Malloy was on the list, too.
He was?
Yep, from this network, yep.
I have to look at that again.
Yep.
I'm amazed.
Yeah, no, he was on there, and he deserves it. Mike
is
a good guy, does
He's
a great
amazing.
Job. Yeah.
Like I've said before, listening to his program is like going to a protest rally or something, and
yeah.
You end up all worked out. Listening to your show is like going back to a civics class and learning those things that you wish you had remembered the first time.
Well, hopefully there's a little bit of protest rally in here. We keep people awake.
There you go.
Jim, thanks for the call.
Okay,
I appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. You're in the Truth Zone. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this break.
A real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Does Burger King have a new fire-grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire-grilled chicken, fire-roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on the fresh-baked baguette. All with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
We'll be back with more music, but first a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Show.
NBC Wall Street Journal poll. Bush is in the worst political trouble of his presidency, according to this new poll. Yeah, they have their work cut out for them. What's it going to be? Is it going to be a phony assassination attempt on Bush like they staged with Reagan? Is it going to be another attack on U.S. soil where another 3,000 Americans and foreigners are going to be killed? Is it going to be another attack on another country? What are they going to do since they can't govern? Huh? So look for another war. The guy is toast, and you know it as well as I do, Truth Seekers, and maybe, just maybe, some Americans are coming out of the ether. But don't count on it, because they'll go right back into the ether as soon as these thugs engineer an act of violence against this country, or another war, or something about Bush. Oh, Bush broke his leg today. He was running and he stumbled. Oh, sympathy, sympathy. You know what I'm talking about.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome to your defense against conservative weapons of mass disinformation. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations, streaming from outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system. Broadcasting around the world on the internet from IEAmericaRadio.com, Live365.com, and MyFavoriteRadioPower.org. Check out their site. Help them out if you can. With archives at WhiteRoseSociety.org, another great group. You can find all of this at TomHartman.com or LiberalTalkRadio.com. We'll get you to it. What's the conservative political spin on Arnold, David Kaye, and Joe Wilson? Will they succeed in fooling the American people as well as they did about the so-called threat of Iraq? By the way, tomorrow, on this program, the first 20 minutes of the show, we're going to have Greg Palast on. And he's going to be talking about something I'm going to share some information with you about in just a minute, about Arnold and Enron. And then later in the program tomorrow, we're going to have on David Corn, the author of the new book, The Lies of George Bush, or George Bush's Lies. I don't have the book right in front of me here in the studio in Detroit. But I got a copy of it last week. I haven't read the whole thing. I've spent some time with it, though, and it is a shocker. Just a little off topic, but one of those things that you want to make sure everybody knows that's like worth passing along. If you are having children, or you know people who are having children, or you are having grandchildren, this is from the Canadian Health Service. Giving children even one antibiotic before 6 months of age more than doubles the risk they will have asthma by their seventh birthday, a new study shows. The research may explain why allergy and asthma rates in children have risen in lockstep with the growing use of antibiotics since the 1970s. They've been wondering about what's this epidemic of obesity. It looks like it may have something to do with genetically modified corn producing high fructose corn syrup that's infested our candy and soft drink supplies. And they've been wondering, what's the deal with this explosion in asthma since the late 70s? It looks like it has to do with giving antibiotics to children before the age of 6. They say antibiotics disrupt the normal development of a child's immune system. So, a little factoid, but it's the type that I think is really important to tell as many people as you can about. This is Tom Hartman. We'll be back after the news. Stay tuned.
It's coming through a hole.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The White House has ordered a major reorganization of American efforts to quell violence in Iraq and Afghanistan and to speed the reconstruction of both countries, according to senior administration officials. The new effort includes the creation of an Iraq Stabilization Group, which will be run by National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice. It comes at a time when polls show that Americans are less confident of Mr. Bush's foreign policy skills than at any time since the terrorist attacks 2 years ago. At the same time, Congress is using President Bush's request for $87 billion to question the administration's failure to anticipate the violence in Iraq and the obstacles to reconstruction. The president knows his legacy and maybe his re-election depends on getting this right, an administration official said. This is as close as anyone will come to acknowledgement that it's not working. Arnold Schwarzenegger went on the attack yesterday, denouncing the latest sexual harassment allegations made against him as untrue and charging that all of the 11th hour accusations were intended to wreck his campaign for governor. The Democratic National Committee issued a resolution yesterday calling on Schwarzenegger to apologize for the alleged remarks about Hitler. The Republican gubernatorial frontrunner dismissed the move as sleaze politics. Schwarzenegger came under fire after the Los Angeles Times reported on Thursday that six women claimed he groped or sexually harassed them between 1975 and 2000. After the story was published, five other women came forward to report similar incidents, including two who said Friday the actor harassed them on the set of the 1988 film Twins. The saga of an Army Reserve battalion trying to return from the Middle East on leave took another twist on Sunday when family members learned their loved ones could not return to the States because there was no room on the homebound flight. Family members had been told they were coming home from Kuwait on leave and had flights arranged for them, but then found out last week that the leaves had been suspended. On Friday, the military said the reservists would be coming home after all and that the incident was a major miscommunication. More IE America news after this.
Hi, my name's Maria, and I'm alive today because I was given CPR last year by Rick,
who took a class with the Red Cross after I received blood from Jamal, who gave blood
after being encouraged by my friend Angela,
who helped Jamal's whole family get the help and support they needed after losing their home to a fire.
When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. By getting involved with the Red Cross, you never know how many people your actions will affect. To get involved, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
The Chicago Cubs eliminated the Atlanta Braves in Game 5 of the National League Division Series, snagging their first postseason series victory since 1908. For IE American Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome to Baguette Country.
Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh-baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire is ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
If you wonder why your taxes keep going up, 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 one big reason is that corporations keep finding sneaky ways to dodge paying their share of the burden, thus shifting the cost of public services onto the backs of working stiffs. With the recent corporate scandals, we've gotten peeks into offshore partnerships, Bermuda tax havens, and other newfangled flimflams to avoid corporate tax responsibilities. But one of the largest means of tax avoidance is an old provision called cost of doing business. Under this broad category, corporate chieftains can slash their tax bills by claiming that everything from their marble-walled executive bathrooms to their lavish advertising budgets are necessary expenses for conducting business, and therefore fully deductible from their corporate income tax. In recent years, however, what they claim to be necessary has been stretched so thinly that anyone with an iota of common sense can read the tax fraud right through it. Among the current allowable deductions are the corporate helicopter to ferry the CEO back and forth to work, the company-owned hunting lodge for top executives, the business meetings in Bimini, the luxury skybox for Yankee games, and so forth, as far as the corporate imagination can wander. How far it can wander was made clear by Dennis Kozlowski, the now disgraced honcho of Tyco. As an essential tax-deductible expense, Dennis included most of the tab for a $2 million party he threw for his wife Karen's 40th birthday in Sardinia, Italy. This gay gala featured a life-size ice sculpture of Michelangelo's famous statue of David, complete with vodka streaming from the statue's penis into the crystal glasses of Dennis's delighted guests. This is Jim Hightower saying, isn't it good to know that you're paying more in taxes so corporate greed heads like Kozlowski can cavort so ridiculously? Literally passing the buck to us ordinary taxpayers.
Yes, yes, thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Bantila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Bantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
You should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need is a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman broadcasting live on the IE America Radio Network. 48% of Americans who believed one of the three misperceptions about Iraq believed that links between Iraq and Al-Qaeda had been found significant, real. You know, that Iraq was behind 9/11, basically. 22% that weapons of mass destruction had been found in Iraq. 25% believed that public opinion of the world favored our going to war with Iraq. None of these things are true. And overall, 60% of the population had at least one of these three misperceptions. According to this study done, and it turns out that those who watched Fox News, 80% of the people who watched Fox News were likely to have one or more of those three misperceptions, to believe fantasy, to believe untruths, to believe lies, whereas only 23%. Of those who got their news mostly from NPR and public broadcasting believe that. Only 47%, about half of Americans who watch CNN, listen to NBC, or get their news from the newspaper, believed one of these three untruths. And CBS is highest at 71%. CBS consistently, according to Fairness and Accuracy in Media, seems to have the most right-wing spin on their news. And Dan Rather has been on record to some extent about some of his right-wing leanings, as it were, shall we say. So, something to keep in mind, will the question, you know, will the conservative spin on Arnold, David Kay, Joe Wilson, all this stuff, is it going to work? If they're able to fool 80% of Fox viewers, 71% of CBS viewers, 61% of ABC viewers, 55% of NBC and CNN viewers, 47% of the people who read the newspapers, and 23% of the people who listen to NPR or watch public broadcasting, if they're able to fool that many Americans, can they keep this one under the hat? We're going to be talking about this in more detail with Greg Palast tomorrow, one of the people who broke the story. But this from ConsumerWatchdog.org. Turns out, back in May of 2001, and we're talking a couple of years ago, this is pre-9/11, the big news story, the big headlines, were about the rolling blackouts in California. Remember that? California, oh, and everybody was saying, nobody was saying, it's because of deregulation. If you let the corporations, you know, go into a feeding frenzy and their sole motive is profit, they're not created to serve the public. They're created to serve their stockholders. It's not a bad thing. It's just what is. It's a bad thing, however, when you give them power over the commons, when you give them power over the public. And if you deregulate those corporations that have the power to control things like your electric grid, it's going to be a mess. I mean, we've seen blackouts now in England. They had blackouts in, there was one of the Scandinavian countries a couple of weeks ago. Every place privatization happens, blackouts follow. Well, blackouts, you know, privatization was pushed through in California under the Pete Wilson administration, Pete Wilson being Arnold's main campaign advisor now. Former California Governor Pete Wilson, Republican. He pushed through privatization of the power industry there, which led to a feeding frenzy and a $9 billion theft from the consumers of California by a handful of energy companies, Enron leading the pack. Two consecutive days of rolling blackouts. And in May of 2001, an email goes out from Enron's vice president of public relations saying saying that there needs to be a meeting. They invite 45 people to this meeting, a private meeting at the Peninsula Beverly Hills Hotel. The Beverly Hills Hotel is like this incredibly swank, fancy status hotel in Beverly Hills. And this email goes out from the vice president of public relations at Enron, and he says, and I quote, "We'd like to position this meeting as an insider's conversation of what's going on with the energy situation." Now, keep in mind, this was just days or weeks after these rolling blackouts. He goes on to say, "This meeting should be for principals only," end quote. So they're going to have a meeting. Enron is calling a meeting at the Beverly Hills Hotel for principals only. A meeting of these folks who have led the charge for deregulation, that is, handing over the commons of the power grid of California to a handful of for-profit corporations who are placing the interests of profit above the interests of the citizens of California, as they are required to do by law, by the way. So this is the thing. People, oh, you know, deregulation, yeah, we let the car. They somehow conveniently forget, or in this new feudalism, this new aristocracy, this new corporate aristocracy that the cons are foisting upon the American public, that is primarily promulgated by these so-called conservative talk show hosts. They forget that the purpose of a corporation, and I say this not as an indictment of a corporation, I've started seven of them in my life, I own one right now, I've done well with corporations, I'm not opposed to corporations. The purpose of a corporation, however, is not to serve the public good. It's not to provide electricity to people. It's not to provide water supplies. It's not to feed the homeless. It's not to make jobs, even. The purpose of a corporation is to produce wealth for its owners. Period. Full stop. The Supreme Court has ruled that if you are an officer of a corporation and you make decisions that fail to produce wealth for your owners, regardless of other considerations, you've broken the law. So if you're faced with a choice between do I harm the environment and make money, or do I save the environment and not make as much money? If you're a corporation, it could be argued, and many have successfully, that the law requires you to harm the environment and make the profit. And so, you know, we've known this for 200 years in America. For 227 years. I mean, the founders of this country figured this out. They saw what the East India Company did. They dumped their tea in Boston Harbor when the East Company got a tax reduction and a tax rebate on the tea that they had in stock in England. They pulled an Enron so that they could wipe out their small competitors, their small entrepreneurial competitors up and down the East Coast. And these small entrepreneurs said, no, we're not going to let the East India Company pull a Walmart here. Everybody understood corporations are there to make money. So you've got this meeting for principles only. Quoting from the Enron Vice President of Public Relations email, pulling this meeting together, we'd like to position this meeting as an insider's conversation on what's going on with the energy situation. 11 people showed up for the meeting. One of them was Arnold Schwarzenegger. Now tell me, what is Arnold Schwarzenegger doing in May of 2001, a week or so after the blackouts in California, getting together with all of the energy companies, with the old boy network, with this bunch that has just turned off the lights in the state? Why are they bringing in Arnold? Could it be that part of the plan is to create a recall and replace Gray Davis with Arnold so that they can cover up their crimes, or so that they can squeeze another $9 billion out of the taxpayers and the ratepayers of California? I mean, they yell and scream about how the state's in a financial crisis. $9 billion went to these energy companies, and it turns out that much of it, I mean, there was actual fraud committed, crimes by these people. And Arnold is in the meeting. And now we look back and we see that Arnold donated money. It wasn't a lot, as I recall, it was $5,000. But Arnold donated money to Daryl Issa to help get the, you know, is this starting to form a network in your mind? Are you starting to connect the dots? Is the picture forming? Arnold gets together with the power companies that have squeezed the state, the power companies that have just made billions and who thus have the ability to give millions, or as in the case of George W. Bush, hundreds of millions to a political campaign. He gets together with these guys at the Beverly Hills Hotel in May of 2001 in response to an email sent out by Enron's Vice President of Public Relations saying, we'd like to position this meeting as an insider's conversation of what's going on with the energy situation. This meeting should be for principals only. Arnold Schwarzenegger, one of the principals, shows up for the meeting. And then the recall happens, and then we have Arnold positioned to be the next governor. Coincidence or conspiracy? We'll be getting into that in more detail tomorrow. I'm sure that Greg Palast will have more information about it. I know he's got a piece circulating around the internet, and Louise just called me about an hour ago and said he's going to be on the program tomorrow at noon Eastern time, the first segment of the show. So tune in for that. It promises to be interesting. I mean, this is the essential fallacy of the cons. I mean, it was amazing. I was at this talkers thing, the Heritage Foundation, and one of the talk show hosts goes, "Yeah, I'm a conservative. I'm with George Bush on those tax cuts." And I'm like, there weren't any tax cuts. What they did was they borrowed $1.6 trillion from our children and gave it to rich people, to the top 1%, and gave, you know, $100 a piece to the middle class to say, here, you know, here's a bone. But, I mean, this is the conservative agenda. It's this transfer of wealth from we the people, whether it's ratepayers of California or taxpayers, to this very small, very, very powerful corporate elite. You're seeing the growth of aristocracy in America. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You know, I actually used to take Tylenol, but not anymore, because now I get relief 15 minutes faster on tough pain with Advil Liquid Gels. Advil Liquid Gels actually rush relief 15 minutes faster. Now, how great does that sound? Imagine 15 wonderful, precious minutes faster. Now, why would I ever use anything else for pain relief? Advil Liquid Gels, 15 minutes faster.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts. Because whether it's brakes, a battery, or even a new set of wiper blades, you'll find what you need at Napa. This is the good stuff. While you're there, pick up a Napa camouflage hat for only $3.99. So come to Napa and get whatever you need for your car and pick up your special edition camouflage hat today.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune in to tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the America Radio Network.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Governor Michael O. Levitt heading up the EPA, maybe. Senate Democrats boycotted a committee meeting on Wednesday, this last Wednesday of last week, because they want the Bush administration to answer questions about why they deleted from their press releases a note of caution on the air quality in Lower Manhattan after 9/11. Why does this administration lie to its people about environmental issues? Be interesting to see if Hillary Clinton's actually leading this charge, for which no doubt she will get an enormous amount of flack, whether they're going to be able to hold it together. 1-800-TALK, yes, is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Jim in Minnesota is on the line. Jim, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Mega ditto, Tom.
Yeah, thank you, Jim.
I heard two or three days ago that Cruz Bustamante and Gray Davis have filed suit against some of these energy companies to try and recoup some of this $9 billion that was lost in this energy deal.
Yes, they have. And Cruz Bustamante has, anyway. I don't know about Gray Davis.
And there was speculation that the reason for the big push to recall Davis is because of that, so they could, so these companies won't have to pay out that $9 billion.
Well, and not only that, a whole bunch of people could go to jail, and it could be a whole lot bigger than $9 billion. I mean, that's just what we know about.
Well, you know, I think that maybe they should, the state of California might want to spend a few million dollars and investigate this. I think this is a serious problem.
Yeah, well, under Governor Groper, that's not going to happen. You know?
Yeah, this is true. Anyway, thank you, sir. I appreciate your show.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Thanks for the call. 1-800-TALK, yes, Ann in Florida. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi. To add on to what the last caller just said, Greg Palast actually came out in an article over the weekend explicitly explaining some of this stuff, and it's a wonder that it hasn't hit the media, you know, like the ABC, NBC, CBS kind of thing, or the MSNBC, because he says that he actually had faxed to him memos, Enron memos, and that he's got multiple memos about this, 34 pages, as a matter of fact, about this.
And they're not secrets. They're actually now out on the Internet. Enron folks are complaining about the fact that their private email, front page in the Wall Street Journal today.
What it does say that Bustamante and Davis together filed to have private lawsuit to have those companies, including Enron, pay back that $9 billion, which is interesting considering the state of California is $8 billion in debt, and here's $9 billion sitting out there to be collected.
Right.
And what it says is that the Bush commissioners and energy commissioners have cooked up a scheme, and this is Palast's words, he said, charge the companies with conspiracy, but offer behind closed doors deals in which they have to pay only 2 cents on each dollar they filched. And the problem is Governor Davis would not go along with that slap on the refunds. So there go. Here comes Arnold Schwarzenegger and recall Davis.
And I am just shocked. I am shocked. I can't believe it.
Well, I am shocked that this information's out there and it's not making the media. So I think your listeners need to get a hold of their local paper, especially if they're in California, and make sure that this gets out there post-haste.
Well, and we are on radio stations in California. That's one of the reasons that I wanted to bring this up today, and that I'm so pleased that Greg is going to be on the show tomorrow, because this is this is a, I mean, I, this may, th- talk about smoking guns. I mean, this trumps groping any day of the week in my mind. This is groping the entire state.
That's exactly what they're trying to do. And it isn't so convenient how all this works out. But the worst thing is we have to go to kind of offbeat, non-mainstream internet sources to get this information because our own media, which obviously has access to it, chooses to ignore it.
Yeah, well, things, you know, let's not be too critical. Things normally break like that. I was even the Bill Clinton's Monica stuff showed up first in the Inquirer. The Rush stuff showed up first in the Inquirer. It takes a while for the national media to be really sure of something. But you're right. Hopefully this story will get out before tomorrow when people are voting. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Last week, union workers with Ford Motor Company ratified a new four-year contract. Within days, Ford announced a series of plant closures and cutbacks affecting thousands of people. Two factories in Michigan and Ohio will close by the end of the year. A plant in New Jersey will close early next year. And another facility in Missouri will be cut back to a single shift. The last time Ford idled an entire plant was back in 1984.
Welcome to New York Freedom Riders!
They spent the last 2 weeks crisscrossing the U.S. in 9 caravans with stops in over 100 cities. And on Saturday, the Immigrant Workers Freedom Ride ended with a mass rally in New York City. Nearly 100,000 supporters filled Flushing Meadows Park in Queens in support of the Freedom Riders. Joining them was Karen Narasaki, president of the National Asian Pacific Legal Consortium.
By being here today, you are sending a message that no human being is illegal, that we need to provide legal status to hardworking immigrants and their families so that they can fully participate in the society that they are helping to build.
Bill Lucy, Secretary Treasurer of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees.
You have relit the flame of liberty and freedom for every hardworking immigrant in this nation. The day laborers, the agricultural workers, the custodians, parking attendants, housekeepers, maids, window wipers, every single one of them you have given a face to so that this nation sees the hardworking immigrants and their contribution to our society.
The Freedom Riders are asking for legal status and labor protections for immigrant workers, as well as an easier path to citizenship and the reunification of families across national borders.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
So a new man in the White House with a familiar name said he had some fresh ideas, but switched now since.
Welcome back. You're in the Truth Zone with Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. And the scandals just keep on coming. Yes, indeed. It's of course, the conservatives are all in a lather. They're saying, oh, this is, you know, isn't it interesting the timing of this stuff? They don't point out the fact that, for example, the Bush administration 2 months ago arrested this guy at Guantanamo Bay and decided to announce the arrest on a bad news day for the Bush administration. But isn't it the coincidence of this timing? This is all politically motivated, this stuff about the CIA exposure and the Joe Wilson and now you're sorry, folks. I don't think this is a liberal media conspiracy. I think this is the great unraveling. It hasn't happened yet, however, in my opinion. This is like the Watergate story. You know, it unfolded over a period of 6-8 months. It really, with the CIA thing and the White House, what really hasn't unraveled yet, and what I think could prove to be the real killer here, is it the White House staff attorney? I believe it's Alberto Gonzalez. I could be wrong. I don't have it right in front of me. But the White House, who people are talking about being nominated for the Supreme Court, asked, apparently he, or somebody in the White House, asked the Justice Department if they could wait a day, if they could wait a day before directing the White House staff to preserve all phone email records and documents relating to the possible leak, the possible outing of the CIA agent. And that, I suspect, may end up being even a larger scandal than the outing, because it's the cover-up. And the same thing with this Enron thing with Arnold, which I think Roy in Rio Rancho, New Mexico, has some thoughts on. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number if you'd like to call in, 1-800-825-5937. And Roy, what are your thoughts on all this?
Good afternoon. Oh, I've got so many thoughts, I almost don't know where to start.
Okay. How about at the beginning?
But before we get started, I do want to just compliment you on the discussion you had about your adventures up in the Northwest. I'm going to go back and re-listen to that on White Rose. I mean, I thought that was a wonderful, wonderful story.
Thank you.
The thing that irritates me about this, they were putting up on BuzzFlash and BartCop and the rest of them when Arnold first announced about his groping. They had the pictures of him naked, and they had pictures of him squeezing gals' boobs, and on and on and on, and it was da-da-da. And so the L.A. Times does a responsible thing, goes out, does some true investigative reporting, reports it. It took them time to develop the story. Nobody has denied any fact in that story.
Right.
And the thing is, you know, and I kind of feel like I stay really on top of this stuff. I had forgotten about Kenny Boy and Arnold's meeting. And that was out there a month or 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Roy, they would much rather we are sitting around obsessing about whether Arnold grabbed some woman's butt than whether or not Arnold was getting it on with Kenny Lay in the Beverly Hills Hotel in May of 2001. That's the story that constitute an actual high crime and misdemeanor.
And when they go after him, oh, he admired Hitler. It's not the fact that he admired Hitler that irritates me. It's the fact that they're buying into, or they were quoting, he admired him because of the way he was such a powerful speaker and he was able to take power.
Oh, and did you see the quote?
He's given his own outline.
Did you see the quote, Roy? He said that, and I don't have it in front of me, so this isn't verbatim, but it was to the effect of...
I was trying to remember it.
Something to the effect of how Hitler was able to have at the Nuremberg rallies, hundreds of thousands of people hanging on his every word and adoring him. I mean, that he was such a brilliant speaker.
He created himself from the get-go with the bodybuilding. And the one thing, you know, I think he should have kind of learned how to lose the accent. Because, you know, I don't really want to hear Mein Kampf in the original German. I was watching C-SPAN the other morning, and they had the Washington Post White House correspondent on, and he got several of these type calls. I don't know anything about that. I don't know anything. And then when somebody would really nail him on something that he had to know about, it was, well, I don't want to attribute motives to them. I mean, he was like a cheerleader.
Yeah.
This liberal media is like, what are we talking about here?
Well, and it's not just, frankly, I mean, let's be honest here. Let's just be open about this whole thing on the left and the right. At the same time that the media is talking about Governor Groper and ignoring the fact that Arnold may well have, the documentary evidence seems to indicate, participated in a $9 billion corporate ripoff of the state of California and is now trying to participate in the cover-up of it. In the same way, the media was obsessing on Bill Clinton's sexual relationships and his sex life and was completely ignoring the damage that he was doing to the American middle class and to the future security of the United States by signing GATT and NAFTA, in defiance of the majority of Americans. More than half of Americans did not want him to sign the GATT treaty. And yet, with two exceptions, every major newspaper in the United States editorialized in favor of it. There was this whole big corporate campaign to bring in the corporate aristocracy. I mean, this is not some brand new pattern. This is, you know, politicians in the pockets of corporate America is nothing new. And what's so sad, as you say, is that it just doesn't get reported.
Yeah, everything gets, you know, they just keep the pot stirred up so you don't even know what's in the pot.
Yeah.
I mean, I was absolutely embarrassed when I saw on BuzzFlash that they, you know, they had the link to Palace story on Saturday morning.
Right.
And I just slapped my head. It was like, that's right, I forgot all about that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's human nature, I guess, to be fascinated.
I don't know.
By
I
sex.
Guess if you can keep them confused enough, you can just take over a country.
Yep. Well, it's not the first time it's happened.
That's right. Have a good one.
Thank you, Roy. Thanks for calling. I do appreciate it. 1-800-TALK. Yes, is our number. 1-800-825-5937. And Jeff in Denver is on the line. No, did Jeff vanish? Oh, Jeff just vanished. We have Mike in Washington D.C. However, Mike, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, Tom, how are you doing?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you, Mike?
Existing.
That's a good first step.
Beavering away in the bowels of the beast.
Okay.
But, yeah, I wanted to... I saw you yesterday on ESPN.
Oh, yesterday morning on that sports show, yeah.
Correct.
Thank you.
And I was a little bit upset with the reaction that you got when you mentioned the word tribes. All of a sudden, people started acting up as though this is something unusual. All of us are tribes. Hello.
Well, you know what was interesting, Mike, was what Mike is talking about is in the last part of the show, and they asked me if I used the N-word on the air, and I said I don't. I'm not part of that tribe. I don't think that I have the right to. And then the conservative guy said, "What's this about tribes?" And then the liberal African American guy, he was a professor out in California. He lights into the conservative guy, starts yelling at him and taking him apart, and then they close the segment.
Mm-hmm.
But because he's going after the conservative guy just after I spoke, a lot of people thought he was going after me. And he wasn't. If you listened to the tape of it, and what he was attacking was the conservative guy's argument that because black people can now spit in the hamburgers that Rush Limbaugh eats, they therefore have power in America. And
right.
It's an argument that is so specious. I lack words for it. But the conservative guy, yeah, he tried to turn it into my making a racist remark, and the other guy went ballistic, but not at me. It was interesting. What was really interesting is one of my brothers was sort of half watching the thing. He was doing some sheetrocking work while it was on, and he says, "Boy, that guy was really upset with you." I mean, he just assumed that the guy and my dad, who was listening to the whole thing, he goes, "Oh, I got it." That's TV.
Part of the problem is also, we keep on screaming about racism, and we scream about the African Americans are militating for reparations. I kind of have a problem with that because, I mean, if we're going to talk about reparations at all, don't we need to talk about the reparations we own the original owners of the land that we stole?
Yeah.
First.
Yeah, I think you know, reparations is in my opinion, and I, you know, this is not something that I claim to be a deep thinker on or have spent a lot of time with, but I think that the form of reparations should be what we have been trying to do since the 60s, which is affirmative action. We need to be leveling the playing field as quickly and as aggressively as we can, and the time to stop and say, okay, we are now a colorblind society, is when you see true colorblind results. And we're only about halfway there, I think, if you measure from Brown versus Board of Education in 1954 until today. And, of course, the conservatives just don't like the idea at all. So they want to say, no, we really do want to have an underclass in America because it serves their interests, they would say.
But they don't want to come out and say that.
No, they talk in code. They do it very well. Mike, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I got a couple more here I want to get on to. Jerry in North Carolina is on the line. Jerry, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. Joe, I'm sorry. Char, I'm moving so fast it takes you a minute to push the buttons there. This is Tom Hartman on IE, and we're going to go to Jerry in North Carolina. Jerry, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. You are live and on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hey.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just great, and so can everybody else.
I've got a question for you. In journalism, traditionally, if someone just talks to you in an offhanded way, do you consider that someone whom you would have to keep secret what they said?
Well, it's not so much a journalistic tradition, Jerry. It's more that the press has a unique responsibility in the United States. Thomas Jefferson said, freedom of the press is essential to liberty. Democracies cannot survive without it, or a republic cannot survive without it. And he was right. And because the press has this, some would say, sacred obligation, this unique job, then we do not tolerate, both kind of as a culture and within the industry of the news and the government, we do not tolerate meddling of the government with the press. And so most journalists simply say, as a matter of principle, I'm going to protect my sources, whether they're on the record, off the record, whoever they are, whatever the circumstances are, because that's one of the things that maintains the power of journalism, and the power of journalism is essential to the maintenance of democracy.
Well, I might be looking at it wrong, but I just sort of felt like that Robert Kovac was saying, you know, this is not a crime because these people that told me they did it in an authentic way. They did not they had no intent.
Yeah, I know. He's spinning
but
that.
I'm not going to tell who it is.
He's spinning that. That's a whole different issue. If somebody reveals the name of a CIA agent who's operating undercover or who has operated undercover, and they reveal, and they have knowledge of it, and they reveal it, whether they reveal it to the press or whether they reveal it to their Aunt Zelda, it's a crime. It's, you know, and Novak is trying to, he's, that's just the conservative, that's just his personal spin. I mean, his butt's on the line now. And, I mean, you know, we started asking the question, you know, is Bob Novak possibly going to go to jail weeks ago? And although there seem to be some exceptions for the press in this that were established in the Supreme Court case with regard to Daniel Ellsberg and the Pentagon Papers. And so probably Novak is off the hook. But his sources are certainly not off the hook, regardless of the circumstances under which they said it. Outing a CIA agent, whether you do it, drunk and making jokes at a cocktail party, or whether you do it calling somebody up and saying, hey, psst, I got an inside thing for you. Doesn't matter. The event is the same. Jerry, thanks for the call. I appreciate your comments and your thoughts on this, and you're thinking about it. It's so important that we all be considering these things. Jeff in Denver has some thoughts on this. Jeff, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi. I don't know if you talked about this. I've had problems with streaming your show this morning, but have you talked about Robin Cook's admissions over this week?
No, we have not.
Yeah, because the Sunday Times of London, the headline, which is bizarre because only one U.S. paper so far, the New York Times, that I know of, has reported on this. Robin Cook, from his diary, said that Blair knew Iraq had no weapons of mass destruction 2 weeks before they invaded Iraq.
Yeah, you know, frankly, I've been traveling. I was in Washington, D.C. on Friday. I was, you know, this ESPN thing screwed up my day yesterday, and then I traveled down to Detroit last night, and I've only been, kind of catching the paper. I only read the Wall Street Journal this morning. I hadn't had a chance to read the New York Times. So tell me about it. We've got about a minute and a half here.
Well, it says in his diary, he said that 2 weeks before the
in Robin Cook's diary.
Yeah, Robin Cook. Well, I'll read it what they say.
First of all, tell our listeners who Robin Cook is.
He was the foreign secretary in the, Blair's Labor government, who resigned along with, what's her name, Claire?
Right, Claire Short.
Claire Short.
Yeah.
And he said that there was...
So he was the equivalent of Colin Powell.
Yes, it's like Colin Powell coming out now saying that Tony Blair, well, that Bush knew that Iraq was not a threat, basically.
Right.
And so what they say here is that in his diary excerpts, published in the Sunday Times, they said they knew 2 weeks before the war that Iraq probably didn't possess usable weapons of mass destruction. And that there was basically a civil war within the Labor cabinet over this. That it was much bigger than we've been led to believe. And this is, you know, a huge controversy now. I mean, this one is one that could really come over here. But it's amazing that the U.S. media, a day later, has not picked up on it.
Well, part of that, I think, is because the U.S. media figures, most people don't know who Robin Cook is and don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue of, and don't frankly, for that matter, care whether Tony Blair believed there were WMDs. But if it begins to contaminate George Bush, I mean, if there's any evidence that Blair and Bush had a conversation, hey, you know, George, we know there's no WMDs there, but we do have to take control of the world's oil supply. You know, I mean, we've got a plan for the future here, or something like that. Or you know, our buddies at Halliburton, you know, they lost money last year. Halliburton actually lost tens of millions of dollars last year. This year they're making hundreds of millions of dollars in profit. You know, our buddies at Halliburton, we got to help them out, you know, and the British Petroleum and Bechtel and whatnot. You know, if that comes out, then it's going to blow up. Thanks for sharing that with us, Jeff. I appreciate that. Jenny in Santa Fe, hang on. We'll pick up your call right after this break. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. You're in the Democracy Zone, and we'll be right back.
Create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If he's got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If he's got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
Show. Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman. I'm calling for a return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy that this country was founded on when corporations had to answer to the people and couldn't buy off politicians, where fair play wasn't a code phrase for the rich getting more and working and middle management people getting less, where there was a social contract
that people's basic needs would be taken care of, because that's what we do in a community, in a nation that was founded on justice and fairness, not on materialism and greed. Where people could work to get ahead, but at the same time, we don't leave people starving in the streets. The eternal question of this program is, are we advancing democracy or are we advancing corporatism?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. The answer to the weapons of mass deception being mobilized by cons and Republicans across the country. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Turns out that NPR itself is censoring itself. On their October 2nd segment, they deleted a reference to the fact that the White House had asked the Justice Department to wait a day before asking people to hold on to their memos with regard to this outing of the CIA agent. Very strange stuff going on here. It smells like a Watergate-style cover-up. And I wonder why. I wonder if it's because this goes all the way to the White House. The hope in this, of course, is what we can do in November of 2004. And perhaps Jenny has some thoughts on that in Santa Fe. Jenny, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. You are live and on the air.
Hi.
Hey.
I didn't want to talk about that. I wanted to say something about Rush.
Okay.
I don't like him, really. I used to listen to him years ago, but I grew tired of him. I don't think he's a racist because he had that creep Clarence Thomas perform his marriage ceremony.
Yeah.
Remember?
I do remember the woman that he met in the hot chat room on CompuServe. His third wife. I remember. But do you really think that because Clarence Thomas performed his wedding ceremony that Rush is not a racist? I mean, or are you being facetious?
I don't think he's a racist. I think Rush just calls them as he sees them.
Yeah. And what if he sees them in a way that says certain groups of people, be it having to do with the skin color, having to do with the language they speak, having to do with their ethnicity, or having to do with whether or not they were born into wealth, should have different status, different privileges, different options in America.
I've never heard that come out of him, but as I say, I haven't listened to him for quite a few years.
Yeah. You know,
I think he must have some kind of a mental problem taking all those pills that would make him deaf, for God's sake. And then coming out of that death thing and going right back on the pills. What is the matter with him?
Yeah, that is a very sad situation. And hopefully, it will wake up some conservatives in America to the reality that drug abuse is a medical problem. Or Rush will get a taste of the medicine that he's been prescribing for everybody else for a long, long time here. The drug laws of America. Jenny, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Our producer, Joe McPherson, and Louise Hartman, our board operator and engineer here, the wonderful Shar Jones. And I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. See you then.
have been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday. For Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Arnold Schwarzenegger went on the attack yesterday, denouncing the latest sexual harassment allegations made against him as untrue and charging that all of the 11th hour accusations were intended to wreck his campaign for governor. The Democratic National Committee issued a resolution yesterday calling on Schwarzenegger to apologize for the alleged remarks about Hitler. The Republican gubernatorial frontrunner dismissed the move as sleaze politics. Schwarzenegger came under fire after the Los Angeles Times reported on Thursday that six women claimed he groped or sexually harassed them between 1975 and 2000. After the story was published, five other women came forward to report similar incidents, including two who said Friday the actor harassed them on the set of the 1988 film Twins.